Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, Germany has long been considered a beacon of economic and political success. In her 16-year tenure, Angela Merkel was widely seen as the true leader of the free world, a steady hand during increasingly tumultuous geopolitical times. And of course, Germany's export-driven economic model seemed to deliver unending prosperity since reunification. Well, fast forward to now, as Chancellor Olaf Scholz has sacked his finance minister, paving the way for a snap election after months of bickering in his three-party coalition. And times are very different. But were the economic problems brewing for the EU powerhouse all along? Yes, says Wolfgang Munchau in his new book, Kaput, The End of the American Miracle. It tells the story of the rise and decline of a hugely successful industrial giant. Well, Wolfgang is the director of Euro Intelligence and the former Financial Times Deutschland editor, and he joins me on the line now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for being with us. So in your analysis of Germany's economic struggles, you use the analogy of the car industry as a metaphor for the state of Germany itself. Wolfgang, will you explain to us how deep the link is between those two entities and how the story plays out?
Well, the car industry is big. It's the biggest industry in Germany. It's the biggest share of any industry, of the car industry in any other of the large Western countries. And the car industry was successful, and its success was a mirror image of the German economy until about the middle of the last decade. But the problems set in with the diesel scandal. But the deeper problems set in with the failure to invest. And that's ultimately the deeper issue with Germany. It was a failure to invest in digital technologies, and a failure to also to make itself less dependent on industries that themselves were dependent on Russia and on China. So there were a number of dependencies that built up that all basically became vulnerable in this decade.
And you say that the car industry is running Germany.
It is. It's very influential. Under Gerhard Schröder, a former chancellor, the car industry even wrote his economic reform program, and his policies were very much geared to the benefit of the car industries, and that has ever continued ever since. The car industry chiefs walk in and out of the chancellery in Berlin. They are very closely involved with the politics. I mean, there is a reason why Germany is the only country in the world that doesn't have a speed limit. Car industry is absolutely influential. And the political system supports it. And there is, interestingly, also no political dispute. It is not like that it is associated with one party only. This is very much across the political spectrum, with the possible exception of the Greens.
So is it fair to say now that this great success story, the legend of the German car industry, has now become an albatross? It's become a problem.
It's become a problem because the car industry has failed to spot the importance of the electric car early enough. They didn't make the investments. They were in denial. And it is interesting that the industry as a whole was in denial. It wasn't just one company. It was all the large companies. There was, you know, Germany has, you know, the Volkswagen Group, Mercedes and BMW, and all the various brands associated to them. They were all in denial of this. They all underinvested, while China invested in electric cars. The US invested in electric cars. And they are now in a situation where they realize that this new car is not just a transitional technological shift, but it is very much a new product where software, where electric batteries matter. And their traditional expertise is in engines and mechanical engineering. And this is much less valuable in the new world.
Mm-hmm. But you say you can extrapolate this story of the car industry and what's happening and this failure to see down the line into what was coming into the wider story of the German economy, because post-reunification, you argue that a lot of basic things weren't reformed. There wasn't excitement for the future. There was this long-held belief that what we have, we hold.
Indeed, that was indeed what happened. Germany made a national bet against digital. You can say that they were the world champions of 19, you know, you could say the of 1980s analog technologies, and they really did this very well, and they still have extraordinary industrial capabilities, but they did not invest into digital technologies, both in the private and in the public sector, and that's why the economy as a whole is lagging in productivity. So it's not just the car industry story. This is just more of an example, but this happened also in the public sector. You see this in mobile phone systems. You see this in the prevalence of fax machines. Fax machines. Doctors use fax machines. The police, the army, the public service, they all use fax machines still.
I don't think anyone in Ireland has a fax machine anymore.
Nor do I. I wouldn't know how to connect to them anymore. But it's something, there is a sort of a backwardness, a digital backwardness in the country that is quite astonishing, and a relatively low priority issue even for those who want to do more investment. There is now a big sort of discussion about the stability pact and the German national version of it, the which they call the debt brake, that they want to loosen it a little bit to investment, but it's mostly focused on green energy, maybe the military, but it's not focused very much on digital. Yeah. And I think there's not much of an awareness of that.
That's really interesting. And you wonder what was behind that thinking. You know, our fax machines, our analog tech is good enough. We don't need to look at digital, even though you can see the rest of the world is moving on. Can you explain how that sort of belief system developed?
It's groupthink. And this is something that I've noted a lot of the country that I grew up in, that it has a tendency to have consensus views it holds onto for long times, and not much space for minority views that would challenge this, and they would usually get pushed aside. So if anybody said let's do digital, and 10 people in the room would say analog, then that's what they would do. There isn't a capital market. Germany has a very strong banking system, but not a very strong capital market, so it's not easy to bet against this, and for entrepreneurs to say let's do something else and attract money, because the banking system would not support this. So it's very much a national consensus, and I think it's to do with sort of a not made at home, we distrust technologies. And in the beginning, there was also a little bit of an underestimating. This was like a toy. Mobile phones were seen as toys. The internet was seen as a fad that would go away. People still say that, oddly enough. People still think that children should not be at all exposed to digital. And they're not talking about mobile phones in schools. They're talking about any form of digital education. There is still and I think that's a cultural thing, that Germany as a country struggled with this technology that is not physical. And I think there was a general thing about something that needed to be physical, that it needed to move, and you needed to have machines and tools, and this is a very different world. They have engineers. I'm not the German universities produce very good people, and these people go on to do great things, but usually not inside of Germany, but outside of Germany.
Right. It's so interesting. And then when you're looking at the causes of the slowing, low investment economy in Germany, you cite neo-mercantilism as a cause of that. You better explain to our listeners now what that is and how it works and why you think it's so damaging.
Well, the mercantilism is to do with the model itself, which consists of achieving industrial export surpluses. So this is not just about exporting. There's nothing wrong with exporting. It is about having a surplus with the rest of the world. And that is the model. It is not just a sort of a byproduct of the model. It is the model. And a surplus means, in traded goods, it also means a deficit in investment. So the country's saving more than it is investing. That means it's repressing domestic consumption in order to maintain that surplus. And that's what's happening. Germans are not well paid, and they're not spending as much as they should, given their export performance. And that's why they are running these huge deficits. is to the enrichment of large companies. But I'm not making sort of a distributional point here. I'm merely saying this is an economy that is not investing enough domestically. The big companies are investing abroad, and China was the place where their favorite destination. And this has now sort of become unsustainable. And you know what happens with the unsustainable, it ends. And this is now what we're seeing at the moment. The economy is declining, industrial production is declining, and this is a slow decline, a slow but steady decline that will be with us for a number of years.
And do you detect that there's an appetite now to change this model of saving more than you're investing in Germany?
There is certainly a recognition that something is not quite right. But the political debate is not about that. The political debate is not about shifting that balance between saving and investments, making yourself less dependent on industries, allowing services to take a bigger role in the economy, or allowing for more entrepreneurship in the country. There's very little of that. It's mostly about what it used to be about. The critics of the government say we need to make Volkswagen more competitive. So we need to save jobs, we need to cut costs. It's basically a rerun of previous attempts to reform the economy. And I don't think this is going to work. The problem with a lot of these products is not that they are too expensive. The problem is that they are not quite, they're not modern enough, and they're not innovative enough, which is where the problem is.
I think people listening to this will have considered in the main Germany to be the economic powerhouse of Europe on the one hand, but also this sober, steady hand, particularly during, say, our own economic crisis back in 2010. Do you think that we were mistaken in those beliefs?
I think you were. I remember at the time also doubting very much that the German model was sustainable, and that the belief in the German sort of economic powerhouse was massively exaggerated. They were lucky in those years. The euro crisis that you were alluding to led to a devaluation of the euro. Now, that was a huge benefit to German companies. They were actually one of the few beneficiaries of the euro crisis, because the euro devalued against the dollar and other global currencies by, I don't know, 10-20%. It was a very significant devaluation. They also benefited from globalization, from the supply chain revolution that had taken place in the 90s and the early 2000s. They had just-in-time production, so they benefited from a number of sort of windfall effects that came to their advantage. And all this sort of ended around the middle of the last decade, and the first of the bad things that happened to them was Brexit. They lost an import and export market. Then came the pandemic. They lost the supply chain integration. Even though the pandemic ended, the supply chains did not return to where they were before. Then came Russia's invasions. The oil price, the gas price increased, so that the entire energy prices were higher, and they're still higher today than they were before the pandemic. And over all these years, the digital problems started to become an economic problem, not just something we could observe by, you know, without mobile telephones not working in Germany, but it was actually now something that companies are struggling with.
Wolfgang, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you, and your book is out now, described as an essential read for anyone interested in the future of Europe's biggest economy, and an eye-opener by Gavin Essler, who has read it and has described how it is exactly that. I mean, all of these perceptions that we have about Germany might just be changed once you read Kaputt, The End of the German Miracle by Wolfgang Munchau. Thank you very much, Wolfgang, for joining us on the programme. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Dr. David Coleman.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.